Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here, brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, here we go. Tonight, more of the best in soccer talk. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Streaming at ESPN975.com. The call-in number, 713-780-3776. You're hustling about town right now. You're out and about in the car. You're getting those last-minute Christmas gifts, or you've left it for late. Kind of like Manchester City did and didn't have enough to get it over the finish line against Arsenal recently in the Premier League. But if you're out and about, it's 713-780-3776 tonight. Platform is yours. Throughout the next 2 hours, we will be live here on ESPN 97.5. And there's so much to talk about on a daily basis when it comes to the world game of soccer. Tonight's guests on the show, we got a couple of very interesting guests here. Troy Dyack is a former player with the San Jose Earthquakes. This is farmer meets professional soccer player or vice versa. Troy has a farm in Northern California. He's actually himself building a soccer field. Now, I mean, the complications and the things you have to do to get this done, it's not easy. He's going to come on the program tonight. He's going to talk about his field of dreams and a couple of other great stories here tonight. But this is an amazing story of real passion. And a guy that, you know, is not afraid to put his hands in the dirt and make things happen. He's building a field out there. He's got big plans for it. Going to be a great interview. Eddie Robinson and I will bounce around a couple of topics for a few segments. Of course, everybody knows Eddie, the former Dynamo player, and also my partner on Root Sports Dynamo television broadcasts. And Eddie was kind enough to come out and help us with the Kick Cancer event out in Adidas Park with the Cyfair Dynamos. Sal Mitha, we're going to take a trip to Munich, Germany here tonight. We're going to talk a little Pep Guardiola, what's going on with Bayern Munich, all the top stories in the Bundesliga. It's so strange when Bayern Munich has already announced that Carlo Ancelotti is going to take over at the end of the season. I just find that so strange, so weird. Naib Moran, he is a writer for ESPN FC. He will come in studio here tonight, fresh from the airport. So we got a lot of great things going on. The question I will put out to you tonight at 713-780-3776. What is your biggest moment in the year 2015 when it comes to the world of soccer? Now, this could be anything. It could be as big as the FIFA scandal. It could be as big as Portland winning Major League Soccer. It could be as big as the Chelsea flameout under Jose Mourinho. Or it could be personal. You might be somebody who won a state championship in soccer and you want to have a shout out to your team. You might be somebody who had success at the college level. Your youth team may have had a spectacular moment this year in a tournament or in a game. It's open. And I want to hear your sort of great moments. And if it's a personal thing like that, even more better, even better. If it's a personal moment, even more better. That's good English. 713-780-3776. My producer, Tyler Scott's laughing. The wordsmith that I am. 713-780-3776, the number. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Premier League, Boxing Day, Dynamo rebuild and ownership. San Antonio's announcement today with the USL and the involvement with the San Antonio Spurs. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if we got a San Antonio MLS franchise to kind of give us that little rivalry? I mean, let me tell you, Dynamo fans would love the run down I-10 to San Antonio. Great little town. We will be doing Kick Cancer there with the help of Trinity University, San Antonio Scorpions, and Lourdes Castro Ramirez and the great San Antonio soccer community. We will be doing Kick Cancer there. We'll get over 100 kids for that. We'll spread the word and the awareness again for pediatric cancer. And I already told you yesterday about what a magnificent moment it was from the Dynamo Soccer Club out at Dias Park this past weekend. Just so uplifting. We had three of the most beautiful young people speaking and providing testimony about how they beat cancer. Freddie Reyes, Eileen Dowd, and Kylie Austin. Just spectacular. And we're going to continue with that. So it's 713-780-3776 tonight. Whatever's on your mind, Leicester City and their rise to the top of the Premier League. The Dynamo now finally going to be playing with a number 10 again in the traditional sense. Chicharito on an absolute tear. 19 goals in his last 22 games for Bayer Leverkusen. Foreign coaches in Major League Soccer, the FIFA scandal, Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola, Luis Suarez in Barcelona winning the World Club Championship. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, we've got it. All right, who do we got first here, Tyler?
Robert.
All right, we're going to start it off with Robert tonight. Robert, what's on your mind tonight here?
Hey, Glenn, can you hear me okay?
I can, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I wanted to call in and just talk for a minute about Manchester United and get your opinion on the situation and a couple things.
Okay.
So my first question would be, do you think the current situation and how poorly they're playing is down to Van Gaal and his tactics? Do you think it's just poor players and not enough quality, or maybe a mix of both? And then also, who do you think would be a better fit if they were to bring in a new manager, Mourinho or Pep?
Well, that's an easy one, but I would say it's a combination of all. I don't ever think it's fully a manager, and I don't ever think it's fully the players. I think everybody has a level of accountability. Even though Chelsea flamed out, and you got to go to the top, and you got to go to the manager for leadership, and the way that Jose Mourinho handled this slide and the 9 losses and being just above the relegation zone after winning the title, I think it's pretty remarkable. But, you know, again, and I've said this repeatedly, I'm sounding like I'm very redundant, I feel. But what I wanted to see was Mourinho get them out of the tailspin. And in the end, what did he do? He threw all his toys out of the sandbox. He brought everybody down with him. And he really did not have the capability of turning that team around. Now, players have accountability, too, for performance. There's no doubt I saw them play against the New York Red Bulls preseason. They got beat by a bunch of kids, and you could tell there were guys that, you know, I'm just shaking my head after that game going, their base of fitness is not where it should be. Did I know this was going to happen? Absolutely not. Now, in the case of Manchester United, Louis van Gaal is a very rigid guy. I don't think there's any question. You know, he's got real problems because the mantra at Manchester United, I don't think there's any question, is not only do you have to win, you have to win with style, with a wide game, with great wingers, with an attacking playing purpose. And it's been hard to find that at times, a lot of times. Lost to teams they shouldn't have lost to, being big Manchester United, but it's a struggle. So I think it's a combination of both. Have they bought wisely? You know, you know it's easy for everybody now to say, oh, they should have kept Chicharito because he's banging goals in left and right for Bayer Leverkusen. 713-780-3776 is the number. Pep or Jose? Pep 100% would be the choice. Jose Mourinho's ego is, look, Pep's got an ego too. But Jose Mourinho wants to be the show. I just don't see Manchester United taking him as a manager because, first of all, there's a lot of gatekeepers there, very historic players, and they're going to all have an opinion. They're going to all weigh in with the board of directors, as well as Sir Alex Ferguson. But I don't think there's any question that Mourinho's ego and having to be in the spotlight himself above his team, whether you think it's this whole shaman-like, you know, he deflects the pressure off his players, all that stuff, which I'm sure there's some element of that. I don't see it happening there. And that, I think that's why he didn't get the Barcelona job either. Stranger things have happened. I just can't see that. It just does not seem like the Manchester United way. So that's why Pep Guardiola, for me, would be the better fit. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. Weigh in tonight. Who do you think is the next manager of Manchester United? That's what the caller brought up. If it was a choice between Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola, for me it would be Pep Guardiola. Don't be surprised, though, if Guardiola takes a bit of a hiatus. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens either. Let's go to Santiago. Santiago, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, real quick, I want to just go ahead and call real quick and say hello to all the soccer fans that are actually listening to you tonight. But I got a question for you. Where do you see the U.S. national team in the CONCACAF round of elimination? And where do you see them? It's a two questions part, actually. And where do you see them in the next couple of World Cups? Do you think we might be able to go ahead and make it to the semifinals or at least to the finals?
Well, I think there's a lot of reshaping of this team that has to occur here. I mean, obviously, this wasn't the best of years for the United States, not winning the Gold Cup. A lot of emphasis on that. You got World Cup qualifying now. You got the Olympics this summer, which we're not a guarantee to be in as well. I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. I mean, is Jurgen Klinsmann going to survive? Semifinals? I think first you talk about qualifying, and then you begin to think about how you can navigate the World Cup. Now, one thing that I have seen that has remained consistent to me in the last two World Cups, Santiago, which has to change if the U.S. are ever to consider thinking about getting to the semifinals, and that is they can't be on the defensive game after game after game after game for the extended amount of time that they are. The pressure they're under defensively. It was overwhelming in the last two World Cups. And by the time the U.S. dramatically got out of their group play, I think a lot of gas was out of the tank. And that makes it difficult then to win the one-off game in the round of 16. So that's something that has to change. I think you have to be able to one day be able to manage games a little bit more through simply having the ball. Now, are we going to outpossess the Argentinas of the world and teams like that? Of course not. But can we get larger portions of a game where we can hold the ball, dictate the game a little bit in order to give everybody a bit of a breather? I think that's something that so sticks out to me here in the future, and it just can't be Cavalier spirit and the Warrior spirit that consistently gets you through. And if you're going to try to get deeper into a World Cup, I think this whole learning how to navigate it and doing that by keeping something in reserve because you're able to hold the ball in specific games against some of the elite teams in the world is a big issue to me.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks again, okay?
All right. Thank you, Santiago. Happy, and happy holidays to you, please.
Thanks.
All right. Let's continue on here. Jed, what's on your mind, Jed? Hi, Jed.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Yourself? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. I actually just had a quick question. I'm very new to the whole soccer aspect. I listen to you whenever I'm at work. I guess my question is, what's the difference as far as the job aspects, as far as Chelsea and Manchester United? Which do you think is a better job? And if Manchester United is a better job, why would they take a chance with Mourinho if he collapsed so bad in Chelsea?
Interesting. Well, listen, they're both two of the world's greatest soccer clubs with huge brands that anybody – look, David Moyes, when he was given the opportunity, people would say, oh, my gosh, why would he take Manchester United after Sir Alex Ferguson? because that opportunity will never come again. I think that will come down to the individual who gets offered the job as to what is the makeup of the roster, the needs of the two clubs. I get the sense that Chelsea's a bigger rebuild now because there's a lot of scarring there. Not to say there isn't some at Manchester United, but this is a little different situation at Chelsea right now because it's been the ultimate collapse. And I think guys want to leave. And when there is a great divide in the locker room like there has been at Chelsea, there's a lot of wounding and scarring that's left open. So it's going to be very interesting to see the direction they go in. Both these teams, you know, Chelsea's still alive in the Champions League. That's going to be essential to try and continue to do well there. The Premier League is out of the question, winning the title. So whoever takes these jobs or gets the opportunity to take what are amazing jobs, lifetime career jobs, it's going to be fascinating to see who grabs them. Again, I don't think Mourinho is going to end up at Manchester United. I would not be surprised that people at Manchester United have said, oh, Mourinho's available, and they think about it. I would also not put it past an agent trying to put the two together, because right now Jose Mourinho's trying to try to create some positiveness around his name, and there's no better way to do it than link yourself to Manchester United. So I don't know who did that. These days, what can you believe in the media, honestly? What can you really believe? I mean, half the stuff is made up on the internet. You know, no sources are named. I mean, come on. And unfortunately, people take it for lore. Hey, by the way, Rafa Márquez is back to Atlas, where he began his great career. Jimenez helping Benfica advance to the Champions League. Yeah, Rafa Márquez, Atlas youth product, is back. Portland sent Will Johnson to Toronto. Good pickup for Toronto. Will Johnson's the guy from that area. He's going to put his heart and soul out there with him and Michael Bradley in midfield. Boy, that's a workman-like midfield. Wouldn't have Will Johnson been a nice guy to put next to Ricardo Clark here in Houston? 713-780-3776. What's on your soccer mind here tonight? We'll take a quick break. More to come here. Quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm, who works for you 24/7. Now, John Daspit has been a supporter of this show. His firm, the Daspit Law Firm, is one that you have to consider here, because you're going to always need a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side for your right to compensation. Now, whether you get in an 18-wheeler accident, boat, car, wrongful death, industrial accidents, medical, refinery, personal injury cases, the Daspit Law Firm is there for you. Now, you can contact the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit at 713-364-0915, toll-free 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. And again, my thanks to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Again, it's DaspitLaw.com. DaspitLaw.com, great college soccer player from this area, Michael Grinsfelder. Also works for that firm, played at American University. So we got ties everywhere with the game of soccer, right? It's a great fraternity to be in. We'll take a break, 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. AC/DC's coming to town. Who's going to that show? I'm definitely going to find a way to get to that show. That will be a party at the Toyota Center. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. Amigo Energy wishing all soccer fans happy holidays, reminding you that LED Christmas lights use 80 to 90% less electricity, and they last 33 times longer than incandescent bulbs. Now, additionally, Amigo Energy Nights Free customers pay no energy charge to line up their holiday decorations overnight. So take advantage, sign up for Amigo Energy Nights Free, and light up the holiday tree for less money. Go to AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. Enroll today. 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Sign up for the holiday and get year-round electricity savings today. Thank you, Amigo Energy. And I'll tell you what, driving around town, there's some incredible efforts people have put in with Christmas lights on their property. Amazing stuff. All right, quick hit to the phone lines here with Alex. Alex, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I love your show, man. I just want to say that I think Jose Mourinho will be a very good fit for Manchester United.
Really?
And I think they will announce him as their coach, and Pep Guardiola will end up with Manchester City. Jose Mourinho do have a point to prove. He's a fantastic coach and always will be, but I think he lost his locker room. The infusion of Diego Costa into Chelsea and some new contract that he signed kind of like broke his locker room. He lost his locker room, and that was a problem he had with Chelsea. He's still a great coach, one of the best coaches ever.
No, nobody ever said he was a bad coach all of a sudden. But what I have been saying on this show, Alex, he's a narcissist. And a narcissist is a guy that has to have all the attention and everything on him. And when you're winning, narcissists can survive. When you lose a locker room and things break apart, this is when people began to speak up. Fractured locker room. Don't you think it was disappointing that Jose Mourinho couldn't sort of right the ship? I mean, think about how badly it must have been gone. Because he decided and proved incapable of turning it around. And guess what? He rides it out. And at the end of the day, he's throwing his toys out of the sandbox. He's bringing everybody down with him, whether it's a vendetta against Chelsea, referees, a physiotherapist that's a female, and then ultimately his players. So I don't believe he's going to go to Manchester United. I don't believe they're going to take a guy that's going to believe he's bigger than the club unless Mourinho does a tremendous sell job to them to say that he's going to change some of his ways. And if he changes some of his ways, he may not be as effective as a manager.
Well, actually, what you're saying, it's a fact, but you also have to understand that if you go back to the record of Jose Mourinho, his record with certain clubs is about 2 years or 3 years at the most. He tends to have issues on his second year, his third year with club size, regardless of how good his club is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you said as regards to, you know, he has to do some, you know, soul search and, you know, do some correction. I think the firing, his problem with Chelsea must have taught him a very bitter lesson, because if you watch the videotape where he gave his midfielder, Matic, a hug, and he cried so badly, you know so well that the sacking, the boot he got from Chelsea must have taught him a bitter lesson. And I hope, you know, he goes.
Yeah, but because he cried, Alex, doesn't mean he's the right fit for Manchester United, okay? I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I get that. I love genuine emotion. I love passion. But because he cried doesn't mean he's the fit for Manchester United. And don't forget, that's a rebuild at Manchester United. He's not going to inherit a bunch of players that are ready to win the title. They're going to have to acquire some other players. You got Wayne Rooney on the decline. There's a lot of things that are going to have to change there. And I'm not sure that has been his mantra in the past.
Well, I'll call you a few weeks from now, and I think when I call you, I'll be saying I told you so. It's going
to
be the
Well, and I'll tell you what, if he does get the job, I want you to call me and do the I told you so. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Definitely. I love your show, man. Merry Christmas to you and to all the listeners.
And you too, and thank you very much for calling in. It's I love the fact that you went out on a limb and you're saying he's going to Manchester United, and you know what? Stranger things have happened. So if it happens, call back, and if it doesn't happen, call back.
It's football, man. I love the show. I love your show. I'm an ex-professional player, and I love the show. I'll be calling back.
Where did you play professionally?
I played in Nigeria, actually.
No kidding. So I got a Nigerian soccer fan here. and an ex-professional soccer player.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. You know what? I want to ask you a question. Please don't go,
sure.
Alex. How do we get more Nigerians involved? Well, I'll just say, how do we get more down to the MLS product, the Houston Dynamo? Because I know we have this incredible, passionate Nigerian community here in Houston that loves the game of soccer. How do we get more of them down to BBVA Compass Stadium and get the Nigerian community involved? Because we need them.
Actually, I think that's a very good question. The Nigerian community is so involved in soccer. I think the best way to do it is, I was an ex-coach of the Nigerian soccer team here called the Houston Green Eagles.
Yes, I know.
And we have lots of youths there. I personally will go out of my way to invite them and encourage them, you know, to attend the Dynamo games. Because if they start doing that, you know, they can carry friends along and, you know, we can, you know, publicize that. And, you know, it's just soccer is just like the only thing that puts Nigerians together. You know, every other thing is we're so divided. But when there's a soccer game, we're all like together having fun watching the game. So, yeah, I think the Nigerian community will be very, very interested. But I think it's just that the news, you know, reaching out to them has not been there over the past because very few of us are aware of the Dynamos. And I
mean, what do you think our community here is in Houston, Nigerian community? What is it, 50, 75, 100,000? I think it's over 100,000.
I want to say about 150 to 200,000.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. I mean, it is thriving, and it's some of the greatest soccer fans. I mean, I can remember calling the World Cup for ESPN, and JJ Okocha and these guys, and the fans were just ridiculous. I mean, I would love to go to BBVA Compass Stadium and see green and white flags of Nigeria.
That would be great. I would love to, you know, I would love to work with you guys on that, and I would love to encourage the boys to come out. And anytime JJ Okocha is in town, I will, you know, encourage him to, you know, call into your show.
Let me tell you, JJ comes to town a lot, and the Nigerian players, if in fact they come through the town, and once you hang up, I'm going to get you my contacts, okay?
Okay.
When those guys come through town, could you talk to them about bringing some of them on the show? Because I think it would be awesome for this program to, you know, well, I have done interviews with Samson Siasa and a number of the Nigerian players in the past. So I think it would be awesome.
Definitely. I'll promise you that. As soon as JJ comes into Houston, I'll make sure he calls into your show and get you his contact and maybe come to your show and
that would be awesome.
Good football.
That would be awesome. Alex, you're the best. Thank you. Stay on the line. I'm going to get you my contact numbers, okay?
All right.
Thank you. It's Alex. So look at that. Alex says 150 to 200,000 Nigerians here. Can you imagine if we got them out to Dynamo games? Would be fantastic. 713-780-3776. Alex is going to stay on the line. Okay, I'm going to throw now to the Troy Dyack interview, the former San Jose Earthquake, who's building a Field of Dreams in Northern California. Coming up right now. All right, with that now, it's a time of year when you want to tell great stories. And there is one with a former Major League Soccer player. I consider him a good friend, even though I haven't seen him in quite some time. He's Troy Dyack. He's won MLS Cups. He's represented the U.S. At international levels. And he has a ranch out in California. And a story to tell here tonight. He joins us now. Troy, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the program.
Hey, Glenn, happy holidays and happy to be here with your listeners.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. All right, so I'm calling it the Troy Dyack Field of Dreams. I'm not sure that's what you would call it, but you have a ranch. You are actually building soccer fields on your ranch. Just take us a little bit into the story of how that came about.
Well, it's really been a lifelong goal of mine as far as I can remember. Just before the Olympics in 92, the Barcelona Olympics, I was interested in finding some property for a long-term objective of building soccer fields for the community and for the kids and just being able to stay healthy and fit. I love, you know, working the ground. I love the earth. I love touching it and feeling it and just being a part of it. So it gave me something to shoot for after I retired from Major League Soccer and from, you know, the national team and the Olympics and all that stuff. So it's been a long-term dream, and it's just been working hard to try to find the time to get after it, you know.
Troy, and for the listeners, Troy sent me a bunch of incredible videos here. In some ways, this is a chronology of really sort of the way you've had to go about tilling the soil and tilling the land and putting in plumbing. And, I mean, all these things that I don't know anything about. This is a major cost. This is a major investment of time and effort. How do you go about building a soccer field?
Well, it's really there's no one that you could really just say, hey, how do you do this? It's been trial and error. And I'm sure in some of those videos you saw, I busted pipes, and these aren't like your little pipes in the house, you know, but everything's kind of similar. The plumbing and everything has to go into the ground. But just imagine doing it like four times the size. We've got 10 inch lines. We've got 6-inch main lines. And when a 4-inch line breaks, you're talking about a flood. You're talking about, you know, 10 acres flooded in no time at all. So we've had that. Just the process of doing this has been really, you know, my own thoughts and ideals and trying to get any help that I can from people that have experience. But really, it's been trial and error. I started with a little section that I just wanted to test the soil and test the ground where I live. We're in a alfalfa belt in Northern California, and that's soil that's good for growing alfalfa. So I've been growing alfalfa even when I was playing MLS. I had to buck 60, 80 bales of hay on game day just to get it out of the rain and play that night.
I'm sure your coaches are happy to hear that now, right?
It was the hardest work I ever done. I thought my back was broken. I couldn't play. And I'll tell you what, I played probably the best I've ever played. So your body can do amazing things if your mind will let you, right? So, yeah, we farmed alfalfa. We still farm alfalfa out there. It's about 33 acres of alfalfa, but I cut out 10 acres, and it's basically all graded to a 1-degree fall line into a ditch. And, just been working the land, and I started with a little strip just to test it. And my son's a football kicker. He wants to pursue football kicking, which I fully support. So I built him some uprights, and I started growing some grass and put in some plumbing in the ground with about 10 sprinklers just to test it, and it worked. So that's where we started the next phase. Phase two is what you see the videos of. You know, there's 2.5 acres of seed that we planted. It's called a sprig planting, and it's been an amazing amount of work. I can't even begin to tell you how much, but it's been a great experience.
Yeah, so I'm listening to you talk, and I looked at these videos. I'm saying to myself, I mean, this is passion. You're out there every day. You're doing what you love, but you're building something that can bring possibility to others and bring opportunity to others. And I just have to think, I mean, what a great mission and project to be working on.
There's just not enough soccer fields in this, you know, country, in the world, you know, especially when you get into California and the real estate is so valuable. Fields are essential for the kids to have after school programs, you know, for us to design programs that could really make a difference in the sport. And I want to make a difference in the sport. You know, I want to use my experience and my passion and what I've done in my career to help others and hopefully have them do the same or go further. So, you know, the dream has been a long time and just the hard work is what's left. I mean, we're getting up. Sometimes I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start the water just to fill up the tanks now. And, you know, it's wintertime, so the grass is dormant. We're putting in a hydro seed Bermuda grass, so it's all dormant right now. But there's other projects that we're getting for the next phase ready. And that's, you know, 17 lines on sprinkler heads on one line we tested. I don't know if you saw that video. That was amazing. So we're kind of doing things, you know, off the cuff, but we're doing it our way, my way. And it's an interesting process along.
Troy, I love this picture of you with two water tanks you picked up at a farmer's auction, and I'm sitting here going, well, that's probably a purchase I will never make in my lifetime. You never know, but probably not. It's an interesting picture. It's awesome.
You know, there's a couple gray ones. I just sent you a few, but, you know, going to that kind of stuff is just amazing. I was that soccer player that was showing up at the farmer's you know, to do your test for your agricultural license. And I would show up in Adalite sandals after practice because I had to take an ag license to get my pesticide, you know, to spray the fields for our alfalfa. And these old farmers, wrinkly with coveralls on, they're looking at me like, who's this, you know, young kid in sandals? I had the weirdest looks on, you know, this guy's face. And after about 2 years, when I passed the test, he's like, you're not going to pass this test. So I passed it. First try, And after about 2 years of growing alfalfa, I had old farmers saying, hey, go see the soccer guy. He grows good alfalfa. He's got
That's
good
awesome.
Stuff over there. So we ended up selling like to Arabian horses and, you know, the cow farms, dairy farms and stuff like that, some high-end yield alfalfa. So it's been something. It's been a process, but now, you know, building this field has been a ton of work. I'm very, very excited about it. You know, there's always something that happens along the way that you have to have a camera nearby because it's just, you never know what happens here.
Yeah, and by the way, you probably had to establish real credibility with those seasoned farmers, right?
Oh, yeah. Now they kind of know, you know, that I'm serious. And, you know, we live on the property, so it's easy for me to look after it. If you have weevils, if you have, you know, bugs or things that need to be sprayed, or if you have something that comes out, you have to be on top of it. And that's just like a soccer field. You know, you have to maintain it. People don't realize that's the biggest battle is just keeping it maintained, keeping the weeds away, you know, establishing a weed abatement. You know, farmers are a lot smarter than people think.
Yeah, I think they are. Troy Dayak joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Troy, just tell us where in Northern California this is and what town you're in, just so my listeners geographically can get an idea.
Well, I'm in Northern California. I'm about an hour from San Francisco east and about an hour from Sacramento south. And basically, we're in the farmland. It's called, I'm on the border of Mountain House in Tracy, California. If you've ever driven through Highway 5 and you've got to the Altamont Pass is filled with windmills. There's probably, you know, a couple hundred windmills up on the mountain there. And it's a pretty big, you know, hill for California here to climb over to get into the Bay Area. So I'm just on the other side of that hill called Mountain House, Tracy. I'm in the county. And I purchased, you know, 40 acres and a house right after the Olympics and decided that, you know, I wanted to someday build a place where kids can come and play and, you know, we can get some real top-level quality coaching and maybe bring in some European, you know, cultures that, you know, Denmark's awfully cold. I got Ronnie Eklund, a lot of friends that would love to have their, you know, family and different soccer teams come over here and go see the Yosemite, go see San Francisco, and also do a coaching clinic and train every day. So it's just a long-term, you know, plan. And that's the hardest thing about this is you really have to plan ahead. You can't, once you set your mind to, you can't leave this stuff out there because the weather just kills the pipes and the sprinklers. You have to get all that stuff in the ground and ready and set to go.
Troy Dayak, former Major League Soccer player, MLS Cup winner, joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Back in your day, when you played for the Earthquakes, you had the nickname the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I used to love when I came there to do HD net games with Marcelo Balboa? We'd be up in the booth preparing and messing with our notes and things. And I'd look out and I'd see this guy who looks like a gunslinger with a black duster and a black hat, Troy Dayak, walking out onto the field. And I used to think, man, this is the coolest thing for Major League Soccer.
Hey, it's a dying breed, my man. I wish there were more Cowboys out there. It's just, you know, you just don't see it very often anymore. And I actually went to the combine with my hat and my duster jacket on, and I was just a young kid. And people were like, well, you know, what's this guy up to? But you just got to be true to who you are. And like I said, I love the feel of the earth. But I'd love to, you know, after a game or something and, you know, get out on the swath machine and cut down some alfalfa and have your dog, you know, trailing your swath machine, chasing it and all over the place and, you know, stop and, you know, have a stogie or a beverage or something and just enjoy the, you know, just stop and smell the roses. But in my case, it's the alfalfa.
You know,
the grass.
For some people, though, Troy, it's after a playing career and limelight and, you know, being revered for doing something well, it's very difficult for people to figure out how to be still. And when I mean be still, it's, you know, you're obviously, when you're out there, you find ways of being at real peace, enjoying your surroundings, like you said, getting your hands in the dirt and all that. Was that a difficult thing to acquire, or was that something that, you know, right after your playing career, it really wasn't that difficult for you to find that sort of peace?
No, it was easy. I think that was kind of, you know, just who I was as a player and as a person. While the other guys were, you know, were going home and playing, you know, Halo and you know, back then, the Atari and videos and all that stuff, I was out building a fence, or I'd go up on the roof and patch a roof, and I'd go dig some holes and build something. I just, I just loved it. So I kept myself busy, and I think it helped me, you know, with my strength and my core strength. I'd buck hay. You know, that's the hardest workout you'll ever do. If anyone that's ever done that will tell you, you can't lift weights and have the same, you know, feeling and burn as bucking hay in a barn. So, you know, those type of things, I think, helped me become the person that I was and am today. And I just, you know, I love to get up and do things. And you know, I'm still involved every day with soccer. I train, you know, I started a club 5-6 years ago called West Coast Soccer. And, you know, we're really strong and passionate about our game. Our tagline, if you will, is "For the love of the game." That's our motto. And everyone that plays for our club is passionate about what we do. And I think that's got to start from the top and work its way through all of your membership.
Let me take you back to post-playing career. And remember when you and I did a couple of games on HDNet when they had an MLS Game of the Week. And I remember you saying to me, should I wear my cowboy garb? And I said, absolutely. As you look back on doing television, did you enjoy that?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. First of all, you're a great person to work with and just so passionate about the sport. So anytime you get around people with passion, it's just, you know, it's life. I love that. So, you know, great job for you and what you're doing. But, I followed up after I retired and I did a couple years with the Earthquakes. And then I decided to follow my master's in soccer coaching. Like I said, during our off season, a lot of the guys would be in Brazil. I get pictures, you know, from my buddies in Brazil or Hawaii during the break. And I was out taking coaching courses. And I've established my A license at a really young age. I've actually just had to renew it after, you know, 15 years and redo it at Harvard this year. And then I went after getting my A license, I went through the whole premier licensing course through NSCAA and all the master's courses that took me overseas. So I went to Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester. We did some studying at the FA headquarters at Wembley. We did London University for 2 days. So I've done my fair share of traveling and learning the game and trying to, you know, pass that on with the kids that I work with today and the kids that I work with.
Well, I'll tell you what, Troy, there's a number of things that jump out about you, but you are an independent guy. You follow your own dreams and beat your own drum. You're a giver. You're giving back. I think this is an amazing story of you building your field. I think it's an amazing story that needs to be told. I want to keep up with it with you. And I'd also like you to come back and come on. And when we do these roundtables with a couple guys in studio, we'll patch you in via the phone and we'll talk about different topics in the world of soccer. How about that?
I would love it. And if anyone wants to, you know, kind of check out what I'm doing, they can go to my Facebook page, just my full name. And I've had more people from all over the country just kind of getting in there and just saying, man, this is what we want to do. Thanks for giving us kind of a how-to. And, you know, it's trial and error. But if anyone wants to learn, just go to Troy Dyack's Facebook page and they can see all these videos that I sent to you. They're on there. That's where I pull them off of.
Yeah, go there and I'll stick some up on the Soccer Matters Facebook page as well. Troy, it's been great catching up with you. My best to you and your family over the holidays. Keep up the great work and keep sending me those videos. I find it fascinating the way you're going about putting this field together.
I'll keep you updated and I love what you're doing. Soccer does matter. So appreciate it. Keep the passion, man.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Troy Dyack. What a great story that is. We'll continue to follow that one. Take a quick break here. It's a 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
You know, I'm sad I missed the Muse concert.
I went.
Did you?
Got free tickets.
I'm sad I missed it. It's an interesting genre of music to try and cover because there's some electronica in there. There's guitars. What would you call it, Tyler?
A lot of their older stuff is a little bit more rock, but it was a really good concert. Very much.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself for missing them. I'm going to catch them at some point. 713-780-3776 is a number throughout the night, but it's time to talk Bundesliga, and we bring in our man from Munich, Germany. Now, I want you to give this man the MVP award because he stayed up in Munich. He is Sal Mietha of Talking Fußball. He joins us now here on ESPN 97.5. Sal.
Good evening, Glenn.
How are you, buddy? Okay, so give my listeners, because I want them to know you're the MVP of the show tonight. What's the time in what's the time in Munich, Germany right now?
Well, it's 10 minutes to 3 a.m. So, but, you know, as I always say, at the end of my segments, it's always a good time to talk soccer. So always a pleasure.
Okay,
especially now during the end of the Bundesliga first half of the season.
Yeah, before we get into it, Sal, I want you to tell everybody where they can get all of your stuff. It's Talking Fußball. Just give us all the places where they can follow you.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have to stay up late if you just play Talking Fußball. You get everything, all the fans who listen to it. But yeah, on you can download Talking Fußball. It's available at talkingfootball.com and, of course, on iTunes. It's a podcast with all of us journalists who are covering the game over here in Germany. And, yeah, and we're really appreciating all the love that we're getting from Houston. So thank you, Glenn, every time you retweet the link to everyone. So I appreciate that.
I'll do it every time. And, I mean, look, for you to be up at 3 a.m., it's great. All right, so let's start it off here. I want to first start with let's talk about Pep Guardiola, Bayern Munich, already announcing Ancelotti as the coach. This is bizarre to me. I mean, what was this in order to sort of stunt Guardiola to make a decision on his future with them? Why say that you're going to hire Ancelotti at the end of the season at this point?
Well, you know, if you recall, Glenn, 3 years ago, this is what Bayern has been able to do. Is you know, unlike you know, what you see with Chelsea, there's all this drama. Will he not go? Jose Mourinho, does he want to stay? And of course, then he ends up quitting, or he gets fired, or you know, Bayern has become a situation where they can get a big name like Pep Guardiola, like they did 3 years ago. They can still win the treble and still bring in a Pep Guardiola. And then when the coach doesn't want to stay, which they've made it clear from the beginning that they want to keep him. Of course, it's been kept clean in the press. They don't know exactly. I mean, we do know that Pep Guardiola had some little scuffles with the trainers, and he's always very sensitive to criticism. But it was actually a smooth ride. And once he said that he wasn't going to stay, Bayern said, okay, well, we'll just go get Carlo Ancelotti. That's what Bayern are able to do. It's just, if you don't want to stay with us, no problem. We'll end it here, and we'll just go get Carlo Ancelotti.
Can that be harmful to the team, though? I mean, we know Guardiola's a professional. He's going to see it out professionally. His reputation is on the line. But with players, you know, that can be conflicting.
This is one of the things that where Bayern is saying, that's why they don't mind getting someone like Ancelotti. He's not a hands-on guy. When they got Guardiola, actually one of the reasons why they picked him, because they didn't think that the club was going the direction that it wanted to with global domination, or at least European domination, the way Barcelona and Real Madrid and, you know, the English clubs have been going through. In those 3 years, I mean, think about it. If they've won the Herbstmeister, which is the championship, the halfway season championship for five consecutive seasons. They started the season with 10 consecutive wins. It's a new Bundesliga record. The company or the club, I should say, the company as well, but the club is on cruise control, and they feel like they have now. They don't have a young team to develop. They've reached certain heights that they can switch easily. So it's not going to hurt the club at all, because he's going to leave the club in a great position with deep talent. The stars are aging a little bit, like someone like a Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben, but you can see with the Thomas Müller, who's now scored the most goals in his career, and the people they're able to pick up, they can lose a Toni Kroos, they can lose a Bastian Schweinsteiger, but they're not going to lose a step. So this is not going to hurt the club. And if you recall, the last time they made the coaching change, they ended up winning all three titles that a European club can win. So it's not going to hurt the club at all.
Bayern Munich 1-0 winners over Hanover. Thomas Müller hitting from the penalty spot. Still one of my favorite players. I want to take you to the mighty Mexican megastar, who is Javier Chicharito Hernandez. 19 goals in his last 22 matches. How big of a star has he become in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, you know, hearing and also speaking to some people who follow the club, of course, this was clear to, you know, every club wants to get a big score, you know, and so Chicharito coming over here, it had everything to do with the fact that the Bundesliga will now be in North America with Fox Sports. And you always mention it to me. We speak privately about it as well, like how important it is.
Yep.
They wanted to make sure that they had a star that can grab the market. And Bayer Leverkusen have mentioned that their ratings when they're on Fox is one of the best because people are trying to watch him. But, you know, talk about the influence. As you mentioned, all the goals he scored, including the winner in the last game. In his last five games, Chicharito scored 7 goals and 11 so far this season, only in the Bundesliga. And unfortunately, they won't continue in Champions League, but at least he'll play in Europa League. But they've climbed up. And they also want to, you know, the exposure. This is going to be the second consecutive year. They're looking forward to it in training in Florida in January. So all you Leverkusen fans in America, you can make your pilgrimage to Orlando. You don't have to go all the way to Leverkusen in the bleak part of winter. They will be playing Schalke along with other Brazilian clubs. So this is a huge step. Leverkusen is really taking, along with Bayern, taking advantage of the exposure they're getting in the U.S., and Chicharito is their big guy, their big marketing pitch guy, especially because Bayer Leverkusen, Bayer, the company, is a big medical pharmaceutical company, and so they're using Chicharito also in commercials in Mexico and in the Latin American market. So it's a huge marketing move as well as a positive benefit on the pitch.
Fourth in the Bundesliga in scoring is Chicharito. You know what else I've seen? Sal, I've seen him score differing goals. In other words, everybody thinks he's the guy who applies the final touch inside the 6-yard box. I've seen him score outside the 18. I've seen different types of goals coming from him based on, I think, his level of confidence now.
Yeah, he's definitely a talent, and you know, and you see that as well across the Bundesliga. And this is what's been really exciting about the season. That you know, even though everything has been about Bayern, you know, someone like a Chicharito or even the leading goal scorer Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Dortmund, it's the talent is raising, and someone like a Chicharito coming has definitely raised the class of the scorers here. And someone, if you think about someone like Thomas Müller, you're one of your favorite players. He was always erratic. He would score you know, goals at the right moment, but most of the time he disappeared on the pitch. But if you look at the stats, Bayern have never lost when he scored. So players like Müller, players like Chicharito are just making the Bundesliga more exciting to watch. And of course, now the rest of the world is watching because of players like him.
He's Sal Mehta talking Fußball live right now. It's after 3:00 in the morning in Munich, Germany. Bayern Munich sits atop the table now with 46 points, followed by Borussia Dortmund at 38. So talk a little bit about Borussia Dortmund and you know, the, sort of the revival that's occurred after Jurgen Klopp left.
Yeah, you know, everyone thought that, okay, Jurgen Klopp, he's, you know, this is probably the opposite of what we're talking about with Bayern. You know, with Jurgen Klopp, you know, I'm saying that he's not going to continue anymore. Will Dortmund be able to stay up with Bayern? Because we saw how smooth Pep Guardiola stepped in and continued to win at Bayern. But what Tuchel did is breathe that fresh air and that fresh direction that Jurgen Klopp. Obviously, sometimes managers' voices are lost on the club, and we were in the last year we were talking like, oh my God, will they get demoted into the second Bundesliga? But this year they fought back. Ever since their 5-1 loss against Bayern, as I mentioned, they lost 5-1 on October 4th. Winners of 7-8. They lost a minor setback losing to Cologne last weekend, but they're still in striking distance. So after that 5-1 loss, Glenn, I tweeted, and I don't like to do this in October, to say that, okay, the way that Bayern beat Dortmund, this title is over. But if you see now there's 8 points behind, if you look at Bayern's schedule at the first half of the season, or at least the first month, they're going to be on the road most of the time, including a cup match. Then they have to play Juventus in the Champions League. Dortmund, and even the other clubs like Schalke, Wolfsburg, who are also playing in Europe, can get back into position there. And so Dortmund, only being 8 points behind, have put themselves in a good position to maybe give us a surprise in the second half of the season.
I take you to the number 14 team in the table, Eintracht Frankfurt. And the reason I do that is because there was a tie to Mexico here. Marco Fabian is going to join that team. That's a team that's only 2 points ahead of the relegation zone. How much talk over in Germany is there about this young Mexican talent, Marco Fabian, coming to play in the league? And then maybe tie that into Chicharito's success as well. Sal? Did we lose Sal?
I think he accidentally dropped, yeah.
Okay, can we try to get Sal back?
Yeah.
So anyway, as I mentioned, Marco Fabian is going to Eintracht Frankfurt, and I think this is a pivotal time in Fabian's career because we've seen the talent that he's had at Chivas and Cruz Azul. We've seen him do some spectacular things in friendlies against Real Madrid and in the Mexican League. But he is going to be dropped into an environment that is a very testy and a very nerve-wracking environment right now because Eintracht Frankfurt is 14 out of 18 teams. They're only 2 points ahead of the relegation zone, which right now is Werder Bremen, Hannover 96, and Hoffenheim, believe it or not. So it's going to be a real challenge for Fabian, and I think sometimes Europe is a one-shot-only deal as we welcome Sal Mitha back. Sal, thank you for getting back on the phone here.
I guess it's a little bit early here. They're probably wondering who's still calling Houston.
Well, I'm taking it again back to, if you heard my question, Eintracht Frankfurt has signed Marco Fabian, another very talented Mexican who's represented the national team. Talk about the environment he's going into, because this is a nerve-wracking environment right now for Eintracht Frankfurt, who's trying to stay in the Bundesliga.
Right. So, well, that's the situation any player comes to when they come to Europe, and if it's, if a club is struggling. The key for a player like him is to develop and playing with them. If you look back at someone like a Landon Donovan, I would love to, unfortunately, whenever he's around, he's tough to get an interview with, but I would really like to know, when he was struggling to get on the pitch, when he was with Leverkusen, when he was with Bayern, he hardly got a chance to play. But look what a world-class player he became. So a player of his talent should not be disappointed. Chicharito's come in, but he was bought in to be to stand alongside Stefan Kiesling and be a major player, a major part of Leverkusen's plan. And so if you're a young, talented player, you should come in and try to learn as much. Yes, you're in a foreign environment, but this can only make you stronger. And if you look at, like I said, Landon Donovan, how he has played well. And if you also want to talk about the American connection, with Hanover and Steven Cherundolo, he is now a legend there because he helped bring the team up from the second Bundesliga to the first league. So just because you're in a club that's struggling, even though you may not be getting enough playing time, believe in yourself and try to develop in the Bundesliga. As I said, it is a tough environment, but it's also a good environment that maybe perhaps at the end of the day, an English club comes calling or an Italian club, or you're able to take that experience and play well in your international career. So he and all young players should take advantage of that.
Yep. Sal, as always, tremendous stuff. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I want you to remind everybody where they can get the Talking Football podcasts and everything that you're involved in before I let you go.
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, and I want to wish all the Soccer Matter listeners, everyone who's downloaded and, of course, listened to the bid, also season's greetings and Merry Christmas as well, and all the best for 2016. And you can listen to Talking Foosball at talkingfoosball.com and, of course, available on iTunes. So, Glenn, Merry Christmas, and thanks again.
All right, so catch my friend Sal Mitha, talkingfoosball.com. He is a Bundesliga expert. Thank you, Sal, for calling in tonight, or thank you for staying up for us tonight.
Yeah, always a good time to talk soccer, of course.
All right. Good night, Sal. All right, Sal Mitha, Talking Foosball. Love that. About the German connection we get. I mean, we're going out. This is why this is such a great international show, Tyler, because we just called Munich, Germany, and Sal Mitha, and now we're going out with Soca Warrior music from Trinidad and Tobago. We're all riding the Soca train right now. Beautiful, because I'm heading to the Caribbean at some unnamed moment. I don't know when, but it's coming soon. Take a break here. Much more to come. Eddie Robinson is up next.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.